Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Yes, good morning, church. How are you today? Yes, thank you so much, Sam, for leading and for being a dangerous substitute. I don't know if I've thanked Sam like that in a long time, but I thanked him so much yesterday, many, many times. And maybe that is what led to us. Pastor was excited. He gave us money because Sam did something that really excited Pastor. Glory to God. Yes, so talking about these things of accidents. First of all, yesterday we witnessed a great thing. For you guys who are not there, I don't know why, but make an effort to attend such things, yeah? Especially when we are still small, when you know people. Make your effort to attend, to support in whichever way. But talking about accidents, one of the things that I was thinking about even as Pastor spoke about his ordeal last night was, you know, how we say kulikayo, eh? Or welcome back. I think I got a renewed understanding of that you know, we should actually welcome back people when they go, in the morning and in the evening, okay? Because you do not know what has actually happened. And I don't know, maybe English, greeting people muluzungu, really corrupts the meaning of, you know, kulikayo, eh? Omwasuze mutya, because I thought about the greeting wasuzotia, yeah, as opposed to good morning, hi, yeah. There are many people who don't go through the night, but you see, mwasuze mutya is actually genuinely asking, how did you sleep? Or kulikayo, welcome back, it's not the same as hi. It is, I speak in Shiga, it is welcome back, as in thank God for the journey masses. So now, you know, I used to do those things. I used to be one of the people who would, some would come back, yes, I would welcome him back. But after our ordeal on the road, I realized, man, eh? Now I stop and tell him, actually, welcome back home. Because the alternative would be something else. Glory to God. So it's not the hi. And I'm Sam's friend. Eh? We kubonga. He comes, hey, hi. But now there are times when I'm like, eh, he came from Bulisa. So I actually stop and say, welcome back. Now, whether it's a long journey or a short journey, for people who are married, or for your children, you know these things of you enter the house and the kids are all seated. Hi, Dad. Hi, Mom. Hi. They know they just come sauntering. Hi. How are you? What? You know, for some reason, I just tell my kids, eh, didn't you see me? You didn't greet me in the morning? You didn't? Ndiwano, didn't you see me? But now, you know, I sat them down and said, you guys, yeah, if you don't welcome me back, or if you don't welcome your dad back, you will see me. So things have changed in our home. It's a good thing. We need to practice these things because the alternative, you don't want to think about it. Glory to God. Yes, so, and in welcoming your person back, not your person, your spouse, your spouse back, your child, you're acknowledging the protection of God upon them. Glory to God. It's a simple thing. And I think the Baganda, the local dialect, captured that aspect very well. Whether it is in Ruchiga, Luganda, whatever, it is a good thing. Yes? Before I continue, I want to thank everyone in LA who attended. I think I did that at the beginning. But seeing Mark Namanya, please, next time, come, all right? Be there, Mark, be there. I know you can make it. If Lydia can make it, you, Mark, can also make it. Hallelujah. Yes. So yesterday, Lydia, so many things. And by the way, Pastor is very good company. Hallelujah. Pastor is very good company when he has money and when he's excited. Joking. But yes, thank you so much, Dennis. And today I'm going to preach something in line with all of this, yeah? And I titled my message in the wee hours of the morning, "We Need Each Other." We need each other. Hallelujah. Amen. After witnessing what happened yesterday, I was like, you know what? We actually need each other. You see, for any wedding to be pulled off, whether there is dissension in the kitchen, butting of heads, there has to be a certain level of unity for people to come together and pull off something. Glory to God. Amen. And I'm a firm believer that, like the Baganda say, agali awamu gegaluma inyama. So the same happens for, the same is true for us who are Christians. Actually, more so for us who are Christians. For us who have families, marriages, that is so true. Glory to God. And in LAT, also in the body of Christ, it is important for us to foster an environment of unity. But that unity comes from a place of understanding that you need each other. Glory to God. Authentic unity will come from a place where you understand that I actually need so-and-so. I need Miriam to function properly. I need the young children in our church. Glory to God. Amen. Every time we talk about unity, it is always the old people, old people. And sometimes children, we leave them out. Yeah, they don't know, or we don't explain these things to them properly. They don't know where they fall. But let me share an experience that I went through, which made me realize that, we need to teach our children unity when they are still young. We need to encourage them to be united, to look for, to pursue peace and unity in everything that they do. So when our son was practicing or preparing for convention in Jinja for his those things, performing arts and the rest, I didn't expect to feel the way I felt when he wasn't home. Now, let me backtrack. Ever since Evangelist Wandera came to church, our third child, Manzi, has been so scared. Now we are getting better. But the guy, that child would always say, "Mommy, I feel things like in the night, I feel things crawling on my what." So he shares a bedroom with his brother. That's why I told the dad, I'm like, now, when Kwezi goes for convention, because convention meant he's going to sleep, he's going to be boarding for that 1 week. So I asked Sam, what are we going to do for this child who is so scared in the night? So Sam said, we shall see. I'm like, hey, okay. Mm-hmm. So Kwezi goes for convention. That first night, Manzi comes. "Mommy, I want water." You give him water. "Mommy, I want this." You give him. But Bambi was really, really scared of sleeping alone in the bedroom. So eventually, I tell Sam, "Go and sort this guy out. We know what his problem is." So Sam, the first night, sleeps in the bedroom on Kwezi's bed, and we have to wait for him. This child is 8 years old, and we have to wait for him to actually sleep off. And then, but now, that presented a challenge to me, glory to God, that it meant that my tired husband, who goes and has to wait for the young one to sleep, is also a jakweba kida yo. And then now I was like, am I going to stay in this bedroom alone when? So I said, I'm like, that meant that I couldn't sleep. Because he told me, "Now, you come and wake me up." I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So he goes, man sleeps off. Then after some time, of course you can't hear anything, you go, Sam, wake up. So he gets up, he comes, he sleeps in. But I was like, hey, but this is not going to be sustainable for a full week. Yeah? This, you know, moving up and down. I think by Wednesday, I was convinced that I need Kwezi back. I was like, now, this is the place of, like, children must understand what they mean to the family, that all, we are together, all together, put together, we are an organism, and we depend on each other. So I just kept on telling Sam that, you know what, I really didn't know that I could depend on Kwezi in this area. Like, when his presence, like, he's here and you take it for granted, they go, they sleep, they sort themselves out as siblings, boys in their bedroom. But now here is a challenge and we have to go through it. By the time Kwezi came back, when he came back, I told him, thank you for coming back. Like, he wasn't going to come back. I told him, thank you for coming back. Now everything can be okay at home. So Kwezi started. He started from where I had stopped. So, of course, the brother. Then also the other things that would happen during the day. Manzi would come, make me a source of entertainment. Mommy had to go ride the bicycle. I am bored. What? I was like, but if your brother was here, like, this wouldn't be happening. So from that time, like, okay, even before that, I would tell the children that we are a team. We must be united. And we had to rally behind Kwezi doing convention. So everything in the home was about him, how he's dropped, picked, let's work together, don't make him late, don't do what, you know? Like, you know those things, parents who are here, you know those things, you have a bus spot that or someone is going to do something, and your whole progi at home changes because you have to support this child. That's a very good opportunity for the children to know that that is unity. Don't just do things and you don't talk for them. For me, I talk for the things I do. Glory to God. It's a moment to teach. Why? Because I know firsthand what disunity can cause. Glory to God. I have seen it happening in people's lives, in my own life, in my wider family, and I don't want that to happen. So when he returned, Sam told me something that he did, and I was like, wow, that is so good. And I really thank you, Sam, for doing that. Knowing who Kwezi is, he was so tired when he returned, and we had to go and pick him from school. He refused to ride with us in our car. He wanted to ride in the bus with his fellow students. So I was against it, but Sammy like, oh, you leave the guy. What? I'm like, okay, fine. So that night before I even pleaded, I'm like, but Sam, please rethink this thing. Let's just go back with our son. Sammy like, you leave the guy. I'll go and pick him. I'm like, but you see, you're going to first arrive home, then you have to drive out of home. He's like, Joanne, you leave me. I will sort that. I'll sort the child. I'm like, okay. So I tell him, if you're going to pick Kwezi, then go with these two. He looks at me and he's like, but now why should I go with the other two? But then, anyway, so they ended up going to pick him. But he told me something that really emphasizes what I'm trying to put across today, especially for the children. He told Kwezi when he met him at the bus, because his siblings were in the car, he tells him that, you know what, I know you're tired, but your siblings have been waiting for you. And they want to listen, they want to hear the stories of what happened at convention. And don't be, you know how teenagers can be. And especially if you know my son, he'll just go, sit in the car, say, guys, I'm tired. Zoom. Don't ask me anything. I'm tired. What? So he's like, Sam told him you had better answer each and every question your siblings ask you. If you don't, yeah, Sam, like, because that is typically Joanne. Sam said, I know you. Because Sam also knows himself. That is how, when he's tired, he just wants to, he zones out. So you're like, this guy, he may zone out on us. And then, you know, so Kwezi, of course, enters. And then there are these, like, investigative questions. So how was it? And the boy starts, this. He reaches home. Bambi, you could really tell he was answering. You know those relentless investigative questions of young children. So then the question is repeated. Then it's repeated. But you know, that is one of the ways we train our children. Glory to God. To know that you are needed at home. It doesn't matter. They could choose to do otherwise. But even you, the parent, you have to tell your child that we need you. We need to be a team. You have a place. You have a responsibility home. It is so difficult sometimes to get through to teenagers because at that time it's challenging. They are developing a mind of their own and they could decide otherwise. But your place as a parent is to let them know the standard. Let them choose to go away, but tell them you have a responsibility at home. We need you. Someone is counting on you. Glory to God. Amen. And especially I think because I grew up with boys, Thank God. So I grew up with boys. Many times when I talk about I grew up with boys, sometimes people think that I am apologetic for not having sisters. And that is why I said thank God. Not that I don't want sisters, but it showed me something about growing up with, you know, guys. They can be very detached. They can be so detached. Then, you know, now here I am, I'm a mother, and my middle child is a girl. So there are so many things that work around those relationships. But the point is to try and tell the boys who are usually detached that, you know what, you have a responsibility. We need to be united. Come back. You have to keep calling him. Come back. Muganda watomulabye. And for him, he's already now being a teenager. They even move on, you know, quickly. But you have to keep calling the guy. Come back. Haven't you seen? She has fallen down. He's like, you touch Koha. And then he touches her like this. Hurry. Get up. I'm like, no, mkwate kobulunji, yeah? But for me, as a mother, for us as parents, you should tell your children, tell them the standard, and let other things work against you. But for you, say the standard. Glory to God. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians, no, let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. They were talking about how we need each other. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So here Jesus is telling the disciples something that is very key. He's telling his disciples, abalokole, glory to God, brethren, he's telling them that a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. So when we have divisions amongst ourselves, we cannot achieve anything. We are not as effective. Glory to God. And we must at all times pursue unity. Sometimes I wonder about the last dream that God sent us in Elite. Not the last dream, but about, you know, our growth. God has sent us dreams saying Elite is increasing in numbers. Then he sends you another dream where he says people are going to leave. And you're like, but I don't understand your math, God, because adding is not the same as subtracting. So, wali wo chao. But maybe God, these are things that God maybe sees that there is probably disunity. That's not what God told me particularly about that. But I just kept on wondering that, God, are you seeing some of this, like, disunity in our midst? Just a question. And then also it reminded me of the time when I think I was listening to someone who had left a cult and they were a devil's agent. It wasn't Joseph. But this guy was saying that he was told to go to a church that had sound doctrinal teaching, and he was told to cause disunity in the church. Can you imagine that? That you have sound doctrine, you worship well, but the devil is like, abogen njagala batabula. And he knew that the only way one of the ways he was going to bring down that church is by causing divisions amongst them. So the devil sent this guy to go and plant seeds of discord amongst the members. So you see, if the devil is looking at this thing of unity, that means that it is something very, very big. John 17:20-23. Now, Jesus is praying for his disciples. Jesus prayed about unity. And he says, before he left, that I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, us, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Glory to God. So Jesus prayed, took off time. You know, you have to learn to mark the words of Jesus. When, especially at the end of the ministry, I was like, of all things he could have prayed for, he prayed about the unity of the believers. Glory to God. So Earlier when I was thinking about this, I was like, maybe I should say unity in diversity. But I was like, Joanne, you've been to CBB. Just chill those things. Just go and be kawa. Just say for your title is we need each other. First chill those ones, yeah? Then I remembered also that when I was still in the corporate world, we used to have workshops that were aimed at promoting synergy, cooperation, unity, amongst the employees, yeah? Why is it so? You could have a very nice vision. You could have all the resources you can garner in the world. But if you are not united, you're not going to achieve much. This happened, by the way, some of these principles, like I learned that, they are blind principles. The devil can use them, the Christian can use them. But you, the Christian, you stand a better chance. Glory to God. Because with the devil, there is no love. But you see now, for you, the unity is not really based on what we are going to achieve, but on the fact that we love one another. When we're talking about, I think last week, Pastor talked about hospitality. And he said so many things about hospitality. So when I asked Sam told me, he took me through, truncated the sermon. Then I'm like, but you know, the honest truth is that for us to get to that level of hospitality or being hospitable, we need to understand that we need each other. For someone to come and say, good morning, how was your day? You're welcome to church. I need to understand that I need that person. Not for numbers, but there is something in me that is incomplete without that person. Glory to God. And I'm going to show us how. Because Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, he uses the explanation of how a human body works. Hallelujah. And to show us that we need one another and we need to function together to be effective. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. So he says, for as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, and so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is one member, but is not one member, but many. For if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? For if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? Where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nor much rather those members of the whole body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no, what is that word? Schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. In line with what I'm saying today, I can't even exhaust these scriptures. I have studied them, I know. I could take you through like a Bible study on them. But that is not the point for today. The point for today we are trying to say is you cannot, let me make the first point that when we say we have to be united, that we need each other. It doesn't mean that you lose being an individual. Everyone has a part to play, whether you are seen or not seen. These things sound so simple, and you know them, but they can affect the way you work. For example, when he says that the members which are weaker are covered, there are people who do things that are not seen. Like, you know, they are not the hand, which is obvious. They are not the head, but they are the heart and the lung. Like, your ministry is that which is in the kitchen. Some of you who have homes, we've all lived in homes. You know what house helps do, okay? But you know how you feel when your house help says, I'm going, and I'll come back on Monday. That very weekend, you'll be praying. But it doesn't mean that this house help is perfect at what they are doing. No. But because you are reliant on them. Now, if they don't come on Monday, you'll hear things like, man, my house help messed me up. Eh? The guy who fixes your car, he doesn't fix it on a daily basis. But that day when you hear a sound in the car, you're like, guy, come and check on my car. You don't talk to him every day, you don't do what? But somehow, because of the role he plays in your life, you're able to move that car and do whatever you do. Now, you will never talk about that guy on national TV. You may not even preach about him, but he is very, very important. I've realized that sometimes in families, and again looking at like yesterday's function, yeah, there are many things that happen for weddings to take place. And I thank God that in Africa we still have that opportunity to mingle or to cooperate on that level. Because out there, you have a wedding planner who comes and just sorts out everything. But now for us, you're forced to go, to forgive people, talk to them, call them and sit with them. You know, there are people who you know, if it wasn't for maybe your wedding, your sister's wedding, your cousin's wedding, you never see them. You're like, but you see, because of the way weddings or functions are conducted, another place, funerals, yeah? You'll be forced to go and talk to that uncle. In fact, when you call for a meeting, they will say something like, but you know, this thing cannot go on until uncle so-and-so comes. You're like, but that guy, he's a very strange guy. And your parent insists and says, no, he has to come. Glory to God. You know, there are things that are so amazing about culture. In my culture, the bachiga, it is the parents, the paternal uncles who decide on the bride price. So now when it came to my turn, I asked my dad. I asked my mom because, man, I couldn't ask my dad those things. So I asked my mom, but how, on what basis are these guys going to come and sit and talk about the bride price? Like, because I don't know them. And she's like, no, but that is their place. That is their role. I'm like, but how? What, what will happen? Then I know of a certain culture where, I don't know if it's a culture or if it's a family culture. There is this family I know of, actually it's a family, where the elders sit and they have meetings occasionally, but should they hear that there is someone of malicious intent amongst them, they quickly excommunicate that person. And that guy, he comes from the East. And that guy is like, for me, I don't want, like, he wants peace. Like people say, I don't want problems. He wants what? Peace. Yeah? So you come with, he hears that guy there was messing up the other one. They call for a meeting and they can easily excommunicate you. That guy has pursued peace. And because of that, he has united people. They don't have differences. Yes, they have the differences. But because of who he is, that he pursues peace, he pursues unity, there is more. They've achieved so much in the East, yeah? So, and because of that, I think because of what this old man did in the East, now that family is very well known. Yet, there are very few people who you would hear like names, eh? You'd hear about especially from the East. In Buganda, it is common. In some other areas, but in the East, but that is the one family where if you mention the name, everyone knows. Why? Because there is a way in which the guy, this old man, has come together, brought people together, and try to sort out those issues. Of course, it's not perfect, and that system has its own challenges, but by and large, he has achieved a lot for that family. So, for us who are Christians, what does this mean? That there are many times, also, I remember, like, when my mother was sick in hospital, you know, you could have money. While we're being to, like they say, money can't buy. You have finances. You're a family of, say, let me say, 12 tribes of Israel, yeah? The first six tribes have money. The last six don't have money. But I kind of felt like when now it came to, we got to a point where we needed people to sleep in the hospital. Now, there are people who had money. Where are you going to buy someone to sleep in hospital? You can't buy the person. One of you has to go, okay? So the people who have money were so busy to go and sleep in the hospital. But you know what? They relied on the others who were not able to give financially, but were able to give of their time to go and spend time in the hospital with my mother. So, and at that point, there was no Greek, there was no Jew, there was no Mbu. Sickness brought us, you know, not that we were apart, but at that point, we had to be together, yeah? My mother, our mother is sick. So my brothers had to go spend time there. We actually got a schedule of spending nights in the hospital. And it had nothing to do with, you were a girl, because, man, I'm the only girl. What are the odds? Am I going to sleep there the whole week or the whole month? So I saw my brothers going and spending time. You know what it means to do hospital duty? Carry the food, carry the mama, take her, about what, make sure, massage her leg, it was swollen, what. Bambi, the boys came through. They did that. Glory to God. Now we came to a point, how can you pay for that? Like, do you see where money now falls short? And so it made me realize that when you're trying to do things, of course, there are many, you pull out guns get cocked, but you know family things, yeah? Gun, but you should have done this, but we said this was a course of action. Now for you're going like, now you, eh? But then one thing that I and Sam saw were like, you cannot underlook someone because they are not able to be there or to put in a quota just like you. Glory to God. So even us who are in church, you may not be here preaching. You may not sit at the projector. You may not sing in the worship team. You could be those ends at the back minding your own business. But you have a role to play. You could be the lung. Like, you know, the people sit those ends at the back, eh? The mark's there. You could just, your voice alone, when you come to worship, your voice alone is an addition to something. Glory to God. So you cannot, and it's unfortunate that we human beings look at, like, we value people based on what they bring to the table and mostly financially. But that is not it. Like, I think I told a story here one time. Omuko Omwavu and Omuko Mugaga. The Omuko Omwavu is the youngest Muko in this home. What nonsense is that? Then you say, Muko, who is, because he has money, but he's the youngest. Yeah? They say, Muko so and so. Let's say Muko Paul. Yeah? Muko Paul. Tubadde tukusaba, we're asking you to please come. Nebo nabako. And I'm like, but isn't Paul the youngest of those guys? I'm like, what nonsense is this? But this is what people do. Yeah? Yet the Muko Omukulu, let's call the Muko Omukulu Timothy. Yeah? The Muko Omukulu, also now he was the last one like this, yeah? On the line. And there is something that I think, something I learned from my family. It doesn't matter wherever, what the financial status of someone, if someone is their firstborn and they are sensible, they have to have their right as the firstborn. Omutuzanga mumaso. Glory to God. Amen. And these are some of that. This is why I was saying that we have to teach our children these things so that Kwezi knows his part, knows his role, plays it well, and he is able to sit at that table, not relegated to the back. Glory to God. So we have, and also you who is putting in whatever you put in, even if it's not financial, don't look down on yourself. Don't compare and say, hey, mama, for me, I don't preach. Hey, for me, I don't give this much. Oh, for me, so I think I can, I'm negligible. You know, that is why he says that, can the foot say that I have no need of the body? So don't feel ashamed because of what you are able to genuinely do. If God has given you a job, and that is why he has placed you in the organization, don't feel small. That is where, for me, when people come to like to talk to me about their things, I ask them, Sokati, what for you, what do you want to do? I ask them the question. So what for you? Me, they underlook me. They, okay, what did you want to do? Be the CEO? Like, just let me in on some of these things. And now concerning, and you see, the foot, the head, is what they will always see. Glory to God. The foot, the head, is what they will always see. Yesterday, when we were at this function, they kept on saying, you guys, they loved us. They loved on you, LAT. I wish you were all there, yeah? So they kept on recognizing LAT, LAT. And at one point they called the pastor to give the speech. But you see, the pastor had, the entire worship team was there. So I was like, but when they called LAT, it was the pastor who was going to hold the microphone. But the pastor couldn't stand there on his own. The worship team came, the wife, the Kwegamba were all there. If you call Lydia, was even there, we're all standing. Lydia, who doesn't, Obambu, teach children's church, what? But she played her part. Glory to God. Please clap for Lydia. Yes. When they called LAT, she stood, Mubigerebiamwe. Yeah? Miriam, yeah, she represented you. She was there. We took pictures. We were there. And I think the Bagole really felt honored. Not so. That is not just the worship team, but someone else in the congregation. It is not just the usual suspects, Christine, Joanne, wow, it's Pastor. When they see Lydia there, they were like, yeah. When they see the worship team, it was obvious these people serve with us. But when they saw Lydia, they must have felt like, Lydia has come. It's such a great thing. Glory to God. So, whether you supported them financially or you could be, by the way, you could actually have been there, just your presence, just your presence. So, if you're with people when they are celebrating big things, when someone loses a person, be there, go. Eh? You don't have to, if you don't have the money to give, mabugo to support or whatever, just go and be there, just go and support. Show face, like they say, yeah? Glory to God. Amen. Yes, so Jesus prayed for this kind of unity. Now, from my personal experience again, there is something, and I'm going to share this, especially concerning our promises, and that we are in the promised land. You know, for you to fight the devil, you must come together. You must walk in unity. So there is this thing that God promised our family. But for the longest time possible, Sam and I deferred on it. But it was a promise. But the way toward getting it is what we're like. So for the longest time, you know, I was like, you know, let's just chill that, yeah? Then I would go to God. I would say, but God, for me, I'm ready to, I walk in obedience, what? But one day, I was asking all those questions that why isn't this coming to pass? Why? Because God had put myself there. And God spoke to me through someone. And God told me that, you know, Joanne, God, I don't know why, but God, in especially in the context of marriage and the decisions that we make, God can, for a time, suspend a promise because he values your unity more than that promise coming to pass. When I was told that, I got my answer. Sam and I had to come to a place of convergence somehow on that issue. Until you walk in unity. And I went to God, I'm like, but me, God, I'm here. Me, is it my fault? I'm here, I'm ready, what? But God is like, no, you need to walk in unity. And later, when God now continued to speak to me about unity, I realized that, for some of those promises, It is unity that will save you. It is unity that closes the door from the devil entering. Why? Because the promises are so precious, so precious, that if you can give the devil a foothold through any disunity, he's going to come and mess you up. So God, in that moment, you people, it was like as if I had dreamt. When God told me I valued unity over the promise, I was like, okay, I understand. And when I opened up my heart to hearing more as to why, now dreams started coming as what would happen if Sam and I had experienced the promise without unity. Glory to God. Because first of all, concerning these promises, there are challenges, okay? So God has told you, let me give an example of a testimony that has been given here before. Building, okay? If you are not united, in a way, in a sense, that mean that you should want everything that you... No, if you're not united in purpose, challenges will come concerning money, finances, maybe concerning workers, maybe concerning, you know, service providers. And if you are not united at that point, the devil will, you actually, the thing is unfolding right before you, but you will have so many challenges because you're just fighting alone. You're on it alone. Does that make sense? So when God told me that, I was like, God, you mean you can value? I thought this promise really meant so much to God, but it's like, And that's when I realized that the things that God works in us are things of eternal value. More than just delivering the promise and saying, kwata, lubowa, yeah? God is interested in working on each one of you as you come together. God is interested in changing both of you, working some things in the both of you. Glory to God. And by the time it unfolds, you have both matured, he has cut off Amalala Gona, you are all check in line, your soldiers properly like, yeah. So we are here, we are now moving. Glory to God. Amen. Amen for the married couples here. Yes. So, that is what God told me concerning the promise that sometimes he will suspend some of your promises. Especially for us who are married. Who got that? I think there was a dream here about get up and leave. Yeah? Yes, there was a dream about getting up and leaving. There was a newness coming to our marriages. Watch. If you want to experience your promised land in your marriage or in your family, check the area of unity. And it doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything, but unity in purpose, that you're all willing. One of the ways to cease fire, by the way, when you're married and you're having disagreements, is to first of all agree that you're on the same side. That alone solves half the problems. First say, but wait, hold on. Don't we all want a house? Yes. So what is the matter? Yeah? Start from there. Don't start by, hey, why? No. For me, every time I look at it, like, you know, Sam and I are on the same team. Parenting, for example, you're like, we all want God-fearing children, okay? So let us start from there, that we are fighting from the same side. So you don't cock your gun to finish your friend, of bazooka, papa, and you finish, you know, because for you, you think parenting, you're the mother, what then you get a big gun, you know, take out your husband, then you start parenting. Nabivako is like, yeah, mama, mumulide, mama, wamwe. You know those things that we used to hear parents say, mama, mumulide, yeah? That's not what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be together of, have you heard both of us? Mommy, have you heard? Yeah? Have you heard we are united? Glory to God. Number two, we need to foster unity in our diversity, and it's not just acceptable. Acceptable, it's essential. That is how I wrote it here. We also see from the story of the Tower of Babel what unity can do. These guys were united in tribe. They were building their Tower of Babel, and God saw that these guys are one, by language, by mind, and he decided to what? And they were going to achieve so much that is not even godly, and he decided to mess them up. He just used the enemy's what? Tactic. Glory to God. He used the enemy's tactic, messed them up, caused division, and the Tower of Babel stopped. people who are here and you're married, there's something that I learned a long time ago. It was a big Luganda word. Mweguyangane. Yeah. When I heard it, I said, say what? Mweguyangane. Yeah. For us to be, I don't even know, up to now, I do not know that. I wish Juliana was here, should help to give us the proper translation. Okweguyangana, it means to acknowledge your neediness of the other person. Glory to God. Even at work, you have to carry this thing in your mind, mweguyangane, for you to be good at what you're doing. You can't just be there alone. These things of being a lone ranger, even at salvation work, I have found the greatest help in my salvation work in the places I least expect. Glory to God. Someone comes, for example, and shares a testimony. And it's not, someone is just there talking, maybe Grace Joy or Olive, she's there talking her things. Me, I thank God. And just like that, I get encouraged. Glory to God. So why shouldn't I call Olive during the week just to check on her and say, Olive, how are you? Yeah? Mweguyangane eleti. Glory to God. Yes, we need each other. We need each other. You can't be in LAT from January to December. Ngagwe teli gwobuza, teli, and I know some people here. Teli gwobuza. You've never even called a person. Just sebanange. How are you, Flora? Yeah, I was just checking on you. Like, you're like a pastor. Yeah? Those things, we can't call all of you. Unfortunately, we can't call all of you. So you guys check on yourselves. Hallelujah. Check on yourselves. Attend people's functions on your own accord. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah, so we have to carry that word. Acknowledge that you need so-and-so. You need Rachel, not just... Okay, Rachel is pretty much needed by everyone here, I think. Mark, but you know... But there is something more than that. And when the person who you know that, like, if you know that you need someone for something, you usually handle that person with what? With care. You will let, even if they suck, by the way, even if they are not born again, yeah? You find yourself saying, okay, how are you? Like, yeah? I'm going to give a very dangerous example, and I hope you get me in context. A friend of mine, Sam is laughing because he knows where I'm going, but let me say it. A friend of mine was telling me, she works in the ministry, in public service. So, she was telling me that, you know, when she takes her papers to the commissioners, these papers take a long time, like, you know, her letters to be signed, they take a lot on the desks. And she said that, you know, that, and I asked her why. She said, you know, Kati, you see, Joanne, me, I'm born again. When I go there, the guy is there. He first wants to greet me. Ngola bikablunji, what? Me, I don't want those things. I just want the guy to sign my what? My papers. I told her, and what's the problem? She's like, but Joanne, I'm like, but what's the problem? If she's like, you know, and in fact, that guy, he's not even born again, but he wants ladies who look a certain way, who dress a certain way. And I said, what don't you have? Is it the dress? If you want your paper to be, and unfortunately, we live in Babylon. If you know that this is what this person looks for, I'm not saying that you dress indecently and go and seduce them, but it behooves you to walk in wisdom and sebanang kanetereze, if I want my what? To be signed. Because you cannot change the person in the morning. That's not the time to start preaching to a 60-year-old commissioner. So if you want that, put on the color the person likes to see. Go, ask for your attention. And when they ask you, well, good morning, bitchy, smile a bit and let the person sign, and you go away. Isn't that wisdom? Yes. I don't know. You cannot change. You know, it's like when you're going in the presence of kings and queens. They will teach you etiquette. They will teach you even how to dress, the colors to wear, things not to tick them off. There are things that people who work for the first office or for the president, they will tell you why he doesn't like, about what, you know the things that we women we like. Why you go to the saloon, chizigo, after they have worked on you, chizigo, oil is pouring. He didn't like those things. He short hair, kept short nails, what? And you can see from the people who are around him, there is, you don't have those multicolored nails, like, you know, white, what you'll be like, but what's wrong with you? Yeah? So if that is a kind of boss you have, and it is not evil, go cut the nails. Don't show up looking a certain way. So I told her, when I told her that, she said, okay, I'm going to change. Ah, then after she called me and she said, Joan, now my papers get signed. I'm like, what did you do? She said, nowadays I smile. I go along with the thing, but I keep telling the boss, na ye, my letter sebo. But ntere de, those things of, you know, you enter the office or you come up mouse because for you're born again, you're there praying for favor, what? Hey, you're there, God clothed me with favor. I told her, by the way, if you check some of those things, you will have to pray for favor less. Yeah? Sometimes you don't even need to pray. If you're going for an interview, for example, and you know what this organization wants, you cannot change the culture. That is bagala abantu we batyo. You go to the saloon, do the hair, buy the kashat, take a call, whatever. Don't be there saying, you see, for us in ministry, we wear African whatever wear. No, you're not going to get the job. That is not going to get you the job. So, you find yourself having to kweguya people who are not even born again. But you know that someone can get you what you want. We have to have wisdom on how we deal with each other. I may not really agree with you, not on doctrinal issues. Let me make this clear. We must agree on doctrine, on the major things in Christianity. But for the small, small things, you should be able to just turn your eye and say, ah, we don't agree with that. Naye kaje, kajai imbetula bibi anakula, you know? Yeah? So, don't, you know, just turn, just, anyway. So I told my friend, it worked for her, and I didn't tell her to kwetega, like some people say, because kwetegaring is another story altogether. But the point is, if you know this is necessary, do it. If it's going to give your, you know, give yourself a fair chance to succeed at some of these things. Give yourself a fair, if it means go shave, what, do whatever you have to do. I know someone who knows another person who lost a job because of the kind of car they drive. Now, I'm not saying that we should go and also, you know, steal money and then we start driving because so that we can get the jobs. But if you're able to and you see it's something in your trade, it's necessary, like lawyers, there is a way in which the judgment comes by just first looking. Yeah, and just imagine, another example I can give you, a doctor who comes to treat you and they're wearing African sandals. What are you going to treat when you're wearing African sandals? What business do you have putting a cannula on me? Yeah? No. Wear closed shoes and go to work. There is a guy, mbumvamu night, what? It's called night shift. So the guy is sauntered in. So madam, I said, what is that there on your foot? Yeah? And the guy, manange the toes over how? The foot was big, the toes were, the nails. I'm like, yeah, but you get the point, yeah? Anyway, like I said, like Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. We will not be the same. We shall disagree on some things, but on the major things, let us walk in unity. Glory to God. And even when I know that some of us wouldn't be friends with other people if it was not an opportunity church gives you. Nga, on your own, you wouldn't choose that person to be your friend. You wouldn't. But you're like, wang, it's Pastor Joan. You're forced to come to on sand and listen to me, even if you don't like me. But I'm a good relationship for you. Do you see what I'm saying? So, a house divided cannot stand. We should, those differences will always be there. All right? Do not underlook what you can give just because for you, you're not the arm, you're not seen, your work is not glamorous. Eh? There is only this little space for glamorous work in ministry, in what God has called us to do. The glamour of it all is just in a small space. We all can't fit there. There will be people at the back. There will be that one who has to cut the cake at the end to deal with the children. There should be someone making sure that our restrooms are okay. And all that is very, very important. And when you meet them, when people are working in the morning, don't jump over them. Ah, Simula, please. I don't know. I've seen that happening many times. When someone is cleaning, janitors at workplaces, or someone comes with a kakondo, choo, 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 and the lady is down cleaning like this, and olia bukabubu sibwat. What is that? Like, if you need this person, this person is as important to you as your CEO. You let that person go on leave for just 3 weeks. You'll be the first one to write to HR that what restrooms are not clean, the staircases are, So whether your work is glamorous or not, in whatever God has called you to do, don't look down on it. Do it unto the Lord. You're serving God. You're not serving man. You're serving God. And for you who has the glamorous work, don't feel like your work is all that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The last reason why we should pursue unity is that it pleases the Father. This should have been the first. Unity pleases the Father to the extent that He will command a blessing there. Is there any place that God commands a blessing when He's not pleased? It's not there. Anything that pleases God, He will command a blessing. Just you moving in unity. Glory to God. This is very, very important because disunity is the enemy's weapon. But unity is God's weapon for advancement of His kingdom. And where there is unity, there will be a blessing. Whether you're single, you're putting your wedding together, and there is this, you pursue unity. Sometimes you get so caught up in these things. Yeah, about this one wasn't talking. But you weren't even yet born. These guys had their issues. So you also end up getting caught in there. For you, pursue unity, and you'll see a blessing coming to you. Psalm 133, 1 to 3. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The brethren were dwelling together in unity. They were staying together. Did they have differences? Yes, they were human beings like us. Would they get annoyed with each other? Yes, they would not go to work. You messed us up. But at the end of the day, they had one purpose. And there, just there alone, God commanded a blessing, not on their perfection, not that they were perfect human beings, but because they were pursuing unity. And when you pursue unity, you find yourself having to love, or you find yourself loving unintentionally even. You're like, Kale, okay, Kale, kamwagalire yo. Glory to God. There's someone who told me never to say, kamwagalire yo bwatyo. Kati, buden mukati nkole ntia. So, when we walk in unity, God commands a blessing. We are in our promised land, LAT. Whatever you're doing, whatever area of promise that you have, if it's to do with marriage, if it's what, don't be the one causing dissension, like you're single, but you're there gossiping about other people, saying about it. How is God going to bless you? Nga, you're there gossiping, spreading, yeah? Men of malicious intent. Ngagwa soka kulain, spreading bad rumors about people. Yeah? If you want a blessing, just dwell in unity. Glory to God. Families here, listen to me. Unity is important. It doesn't say perfection, but when we dwell together in unity, especially people who are married, You know, you can be there in disunity, and even when the devil attacks you, the Bible says in James 3:16, where there is envy and strife, there is all manner of confusion and wickedness. When I checked out the manner of confusion and wickedness, my God, the things that came up were too vile for me. There is death, disease, sickness, theft, murder. What has the equanang? It's like the whole list, the whole kit and kabuda from the devil is released. And it can, for us who are, like when you have children, you can have, if you have like disunity amongst the two of you, husband and wife, your children can be attacked. You have endless coughs. You'll be in the hospital all the time. And the devil will be like, yeah, I'm having a field day on those ones. It's not that every time that happens, it is because you are. No. But I'm saying, when you are sure that there is disunity, there is strife, there is dissension, just know that your cars will have problems. Abana, bajakruala. The maids will leave. The other homes, which I know, maids have gone away from because they are like, you know those things? You know those things? And do you know the maid just packs her bags and leaves? Because no one wants to stay in such a place. But you see, when there is unity, there is love. And from yesterday, I've never been so, no, not have never been that, but I'd taken quite some time without being that happy. And I knew it was just the environment of love and unity, yeah? As you know, I was so happy. I really felt the genuine, genuine joy in my heart. Glory to God. If there is anything that went wrong, maybe I didn't see it, but I was even giving, you know, you easily on you. Wow, what? That is how I was also forgiven for the things I did. Somehow, on you. Wow, oh, pastor gave us money. Ah, we went. There was generally what? There was joy. Why? Because we were united. But do you know, being in a place where there is disunity, it is so toxic, yeah, that you just don't even understand where you're headed. You are... That is how they say that devil eats your lunch and even pops your bag. When you are in disunity, you're just a recipe for the devil to come and do all those other things that you cannot even imagine. That list, just do your own. The other time I talked about you guys reading your Bibles. Do your own research about the manner of evil and wickedness that scripture talks about. The confusion, when you read those things word for word, you're like, this is too much I'm paying for. I'm paying too much for all these negative things happening. Glory to God. Then your children start to suffer. Your finances suffer. At work, there are demons everywhere. At work, they follow you. Your boss will blast you. What? Because you are in disunity at home. It's the same for churches. Like I told you at the beginning, the devil could... If the devil can put an agent on that assignment of you, katigwenkwa the assignment here causing what? Disunity, gendo jikole. That means that it's so important. But more than that, if our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples to be one, this is something that is worth pursuing. Glory to God. It is something that is worth pursuing. Glory to God. Let us strive to live in unity. Hallelujah. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.